follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas, as always, from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. And, of course, we have the semifinal match going on as we speak. They have finally reached the first intermission. USA on top of Slovakia, 2-0. Jonathan Davis will join us in 15 minutes. What does he like as of right now moving forward in this game specifically? How comfortable is he right now with the U.S. holding a 2-0 lead? And we'll do some look-ahead numbers if they do hang on here and win this game today to get Canada, which we'll go over here coming up momentarily. G-Unit, Greg Peterson from here at VSiN on a very good weekend in college basketball. His best bets, Bruce Marshall, same thing. And Linda Cohen, after the USA game is over with against Slovakia, that's at 6:30 Eastern to get her reaction to this game and a look-ahead to the gold medal match. Pauly, where are you at right now? You feeling pretty good with this lead?
Yeah, if they stay out of the penalty box, they're going to win, and it might be by a big margin. The last goal was a backbreaker. Thompson, the power play goal with 40 seconds left in the period, was a phenomenal shot with not much room that went over the goalie's shoulder and just under the crossbar. Larkin started the scoring early. A subdued reaction here in the book. I was surprised as they took the lead. I thought the place would erupt because there's a good crowd here. But Slovakia is 40-1 to come back and win. And right now at DraftKings, Canada's minus 125 to win the gold. I reached out to Jeff Davis, who does a great job here at Circa, he's our hockey guy, and is phenomenal with the sport, and said he felt people were too high on Canada throughout the tournament. And he has been right, as Canada's been fortunate, not only today, but the last two games to survive and reach it, the gold medal game on Sunday.
Well, let's be honest, Pauly. These games, not including the one going on so far after 20 minutes, but for the most part on the men's side, have been much closer than these betting numbers would suggest.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously that goes for the last two games for Canada. I mean, Finland had that two-goal lead today, and they eventually ended up with, 16 shots on goal? So I think that they just kind of went into the prevent defense mode, never really got too aggressive. Saros was really, really good. He had, 36 saves? But they were peppered the entire time. They were comfortable with a 2-0 lead. I felt like that was a mistake.
I didn't. Yeah, you felt that way?
Oh, that's how I felt. Yeah, okay. They never. How many scored?
I didn't think I just thought there was a big difference in talent.
Well, that's true, but
one of the goals was shorthanded. Mm-hmm. So I just think Canada was much the best, and it was just you need the goalie to stand on your head and on his head and get some breaks, and then McKinnon somehow snuck it through with 30 seconds left. But there could have been a little bit of that where you were laying back and playing with the lead, but it was interesting in play. They were up 2-0 midway through the game.
Yeah.
Yet they were only $1.60 to win. I mean, that's incredible. Shows you what they think of Canada.
Well, there was only one way to look at that point, right? It was to look at Canada. You had half the game left, and they were the favorites to win this whole thing, and that's the time to jump in on a favorite that was laying, several goals in the game, and you figured that they were going to make a run for it at that point. By the way, what'd you think of the penalty that they called the acting job, and Eddie O called it out kind of on the broadcast as well. Like, oh, look at that kind of, flop job there by McKinnon to draw the penalty. And then they had the power play. Were you okay with the penalty?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a problem with what they called on USA in the first period. But again, they took two penalties and Slovakia had two chances. But, if we get our way Sunday, and I think I agree with Davis that there's been too much of with this Canada power rating. I mean, we're talking about, again, they keep mentioning this is as good as the 87 team, which had Gretzky and Lemieux. They've had to survive twice here. Calm down. But, some places had $1.50 going into the day, and it also probably going to come down to goaltending. So great to talk to Linda Cohen and Davis coming up here in a second. Jonathan, our VSiN guy, we know about Hellebuck's record in big games. Yeah. And what happens on the road. But I think USA has an edge in goal with Hellebuck against Bennington, if that's going to be the matchup.
Let me throw this at you for the game. Again, currently in action, we are at the first intermission over in Italy. USA leading Slovakia 2-0. Do you think Slovakia scores? Because I have a bet right now in front of me on DraftKings that I'm going to throw at you.
Yeah, I think they score.
Okay. Because their team total right now, and you can adjust it at DK and other books as well, but their team total of a half a goal under is plus 175. So that's the same thing as betting the USA to win by a shutout right now at plus 175. To go over, it's minus 240. Now, and you can toggle with this as well, 1.5 goals. Over that is plus 190. If you think there's like no way, no how, Hellebuck and this team will give up more than one goal, you can lay the juice. It's minus 260 under 1.5. I'm not so sure they score.
Okay. Well, I think there'll be power play opportunities based on how they've called this through the whole Olympics. And then also it goes back to this is an elimination, and how long would the goalie come out if they, you know, decide to pull him and if he stays out for a long time, because 5.5 looks pretty good over minus 150 right now what they're playing with the lead. So, you know, the first one was soft. They were a $9 favorite going into this, as high as 1,000 here. A lot of people expected a blowout. So maybe it gets ugly here, especially if they can stay out of the box. I'm curious to see what Davis thinks coming up.
So I will tell you this. Our show started yesterday right on the heels of the women winning the gold. This place was busier yesterday for that game, but that was also the gold medal match. And there was a huge eruption after they scored, and there was a big chant of USA, USA. Now, I heard Derek Stevens on primetime last night, and he was asked about out here it's going to be a 5 a.m. start on Sunday for the gold medal match, and how that's going to affect betting handling. He said, of course it will. He said, of all the hours in the day to start a game at, 5 a.m. is the worst. He said, even like 3 a.m., you still have the people who are
you stay up. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Because he goes, this place is packed every weekend, Friday and Saturday at midnight. So, okay, you figure 3 a.m., people are going to stay up for sure, keep drinking, whatever, and it's going to be, you know, bedlam here for the thing.
But you're the perfect guy, Diane. How many times did you go to management and say, can we move it back when we did mornings? Can you move it back? Because it's so hard to get up.
There was a good conversation. Maybe we should have that on the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I said 4 a.m. is no man's land.
I know. We went through this for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Can we move?
Right.
Can we move to Hawaii? Can we get to the central time zone?
Right, right.
Can we start the show earlier? We are in no man's land.
We threw at them, can we start at 1 a.m.
Yes.
To go to 4, and then they'll just replay it as soon as the show is over with? Like, how much breaking news are you going to have in between that time? And we had the conversation over and over and over again, because 4 a.m. is, again, that's what I called it the entire time. What do you do? You're going to wake up and do something at 4 a.m.? Come on.
The difference. I mean, to get up at 6 in the morning is a game changer.
Oh, my God, Paul. It's just no question about that. So he also, Derek said, because of, you know, post-Super Bowl and then the NBA All-Star break, Derek said last night on primetime, I quote him, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, but thank God the NBA is back tonight.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to bet on. He's like, the Olympic betting handle hasn't exactly been super hot either.
Yeah.
So I also, here's a question for the audience. And it goes for both sides, right? If you're Canadian listening up in Canada, hello. Or for those of you in the States, I think this is the one time where people do not emotionally hedge their feelings with a bet. Meaning that if you're diehard, you know, if you're waving the flag here in the States, you're not betting on Canada just because if they win, then you feel better about yourself. You're doubling down and you're betting on the USA. And I think that's probably the same for Canada. Like, if you love this team, I don't think you're going to bet on the USA in case they lose, you profit from it. I think you go all in, and I think that's different, like in every other, like a normal sport, not the Olympics. How do you feel about that? Because we make emotional hedges. I have to, otherwise I can't live with myself.
Yeah, plus I imagine a Canadian thinking that USA's better or can win.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. They won't say that publicly or even go to the book and say that because, we got to win. We're Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And we should win the game. So the minus 150, I thought was crazy going into the day, and the talk and this power rating the last couple of days has been out of whack. So now down to $1.25 at DraftKings. And I would say, I wouldn't be surprised if there's overtime and that's how it's decided. And it just froze up that something happened.
No.
With the in play.
Yeah, they're back on the ice right now. Okay. U.S. with that power play. By the way, as I'm talking about that hedge bet, I think here, some books in the States, that could create some value on Canada. because I think people are going to bet the U.S. no matter what.
Well, they haven't been impressive. I mean, his last two games have been, they're fortunate to be here.
No, sure they are. But I think everybody in the States will bet USA, wanting, they want to bet what their heart wants to happen in the match. And if the money keeps pouring in on USA, it's like, okay, now I can get Canada at a pretty nice price I never expected. Maybe that would be a time to hop in if you're just looking to, you know, obviously not back your allegiance here and make money from it. I'm actually looking forward to the 5 a.m. start on Sunday. I know people are going to disagree with that, but I said this yesterday. I kind of like that about the Olympics, no matter where it's played.
How do you feel about Finland tomorrow?
But that's weird to me.
Yeah, they have the short turnaround. You have the third place game, and they just blew a two-goal lead when they thought they were going to advance to the gold medal round, and they're the defending champs.
That's right.
That's a tough turnaround for Finland here.
No question.
Where they think maybe Slovakia would have the edge tomorrow.
Yeah, and maybe, you know what, maybe if Slovakia gets pounded here by the U.S. in this game, I'm saying under that scenario, maybe that's where you'd want it. That would be a better loss than the way that Finland lost, I think, today. Or it's okay, guys, game was over. We never had a chance against the U.S., but now we can go win the bronze, and Finland might be, you know, dejected about it.
Saros was great, but they're going to have problems scoring anyways.
Yeah.
When you just, I mean, think about what happened in the prior matchup. They're down 2-0 with, you know, 7 minutes left and 2-1 with under a minute, whatever it was.
Yep. All right, so the second period is finally underway, USA and Slovakia. It is still 2-0 right now, USA. And now we're skating 4-on-4. Here we go. Jonathan Davis on the program coming up next from VSiN. His first period observations and what kind of a bet or bets would he suggest moving forward in this game? We'll ask him coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Semi-final match going on, Winter Olympics, USA clinging to a 2-0 lead over Slovakia. We just had a little 4-on-4 action, then a brief power play for Slovakia. No goals were scored, and we are now under 16 minutes to play. And right now we head out to the Progressive Guest Line as VSiN's hockey betting expert, specifically NHL, but obviously this ties in to the Olympics right now. Jonathan Davis joins the program. JD, what do you think here? First of all, let me ask you this. What do you think about this jersey matchup that we have today? They're pretty damn close, aren't they?
It's dangerous. I mean, yeah, I don't like, I mean, I like the jerseys individually, but man, you're prone to make a mistake. Like, it would not shock me.
Okay. We'll talk about as much as we can over the next 10 minutes with you regarding this game, Canada, the game on Sunday as well. Your impressions on what you're watching right now with USA. Paulie and I were talking about, do you think USA can win by a shutout? Like, what do you think the end result here is going to be of this game?
I mean, I think they can. I had Slovakia's team total over 1.5 before, you know, coming into today. They're starting to pick things up, though, here in the second. Like, they're not sitting back. So I think there is definitely an opportunity for them to start. But, like, you know, the U.S. has been very good defensively throughout the tournament. They haven't played with much nastiness, but, you know, that blue line's been very good.
Why do you think the games have been so close, but it doesn't represent what the odds are? The odds say we're going to have a blowout prior to this game, but the games have been so close, and we had the run on five straight games went to overtime. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, look, I understand the odds. I mean, when you take a look, you know, the U.S. and Canadian rosters, especially, you know, especially, look, you look at this game today. I mean, Slovakia's got, you know, what, six NHLers on their roster. You know, and Juraj Slefkovský of the Canadians is their best forward. I mean, you know, he play on a U.S. top line, but, you know, it's pretty thin after that. And then with Canada, I mean, look, the Canadians have a phenomenal roster, but they are dealing with some bad injuries right now. And, but, you know, on paper, yeah, the odds make sense. But Finland, like, they're a pesky play against, guys.
Yeah, we're going to reconnect with Jonathan Davis here coming up in a second. Live updated odds right now.
Another penalty.
Is it? And who's it on?
It's on USA.
It's on USA. Interesting. Okay.
Another one.
So right now,
give them a chance. You go to the box.
Yeah, they were about $170 minus 3.5 goals during this period. Now it's at DK. They're 3.5 minus 105, and the total. Good. By the way, you were on that right away. You said stay out of the box, and here we go again. The total now is 5.5 over is even money. Can they get one here, though?
Yeah.
Okay, Jonathan.
The kill's been good, but yep. you're really playing with fire here.
I'm just asking you, possibly, can they win by a shutout here? But now here's Slovakia on a two-minute power play, and the total is 5.5, over is plus 105. Your thoughts?
I mean, look, I still like Slovakia to score. Like, you know, if you're looking for some in-game plays, I would be looking at Dalibor Dvorsky of the Czech. You can get him at about 7-1. He's tied for the team lead in goals, and I would still be grabbing Quinn Hughes for an anytime goal for the U.S. The guy demands the puck. I mean, when it came to overtime in that last game, I mean, he waved the bench off. He's like, I'm not going off. He's been, you know, this is a guy that U.S. did not have at the Four Nations, and he's been really good. And you're getting him at almost, I think, around 7-1 for a goal. So those are a couple of in-game plays that I would look at.
Okay, excellent. How do you feel about 3-on-3 in overtime?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, but you won't have it in the we won't have it in the gold medal game. Oh no, we will. We will have it in the gold. I can't even remember anymore. I know you get. I just don't like 3-on-3 to decide a medal.
Yeah, it was weird. I think the example would be it felt off yesterday watching the women's gold medal match. Did it not?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's just like, it'd be a skills competition when you get to the gold medal game. And really, like, it's the last game. Let them go 5-on-5. And, you know, I heard some thoughts about, you know, maybe play 5-on-5, like, for the first 10 minutes, and then maybe 4-on-4, and then get down to 3-on-3 or something. But I don't know. If it's the gold medal game, let them play. And don't, the idea of, you know, the five-round shootout to me is another thing that, if it doesn't get decided in overtime, we go to a shootout. Just horrible way. And it said the same thing with soccer. Yeah. Like, it's not enough, you know, I just don't like it.
That happened, right? Forsberg won it that year, I think. It went to, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, so 20-1 in play right now on Slovakia as USA kills off another one. So what do you think of this Canada power rating? And what do you make of their game so far?
Well, I think that you know, look, Finland today went into a prevent defense, and it cost them. I'm not going to make excuses. It's part of the game. But I know, like, for Canada, you know, well, two couple things. One, Sidney Crosby not playing hurts. Nathan McKinnon's dealing with an injury. But the one thing I am bothered about by Canada is that they do have an all-star roster. Like, every guy on that team is an A player. And outside of, you know, when Canada decides to go McKinnon, McDavid, and Celebrini, a lot of the other guys haven't done anything. They need to get goals at 5-on-5 and not just, you know, power play. That is one concern for Canada right now. The one pushback, Paulie, I'll have to what you mentioned earlier in the show, Jordan Binnington, you know, as Elliot Friedman said on Hockey Night in Canada, he is Clark Kent when it comes to the regular season, and then he puts on that Superman cape in these international events. I don't think I'll take Binnington against Hellebuyck any day.
Any day, come on.
He's not a better goalie.
Paulie, in these events, 100%.
So you question, because we've talked to you a long time, you're going to go back to what happens playoff time with Hellebuyck and money time.
I'm just going to tell you what Jordan Binnington has done. You know, he's the one goalie that's got a Stanley Cup ring. He was the winning goaltender at the Four Nations. He was Canada's best player in the game against Finland. He's a different guy when it comes to these big games. You know, if I'm the St. Louis Blues, I'm kind of wondering, where is this guy in the regular season? But when it matters most, he's there.
You are Canadian. What part of Canada are you from?
So I was born in Montreal, raised in Toronto. I grew up a Canadiens fan, but I've lived in the U.S. longer than I lived in Canada. And so, I mean, look, I would say if I had to choose a team, for me, it's the Golden Knights.
Okay. All right. So then I wanted to ask you then, from other, you know, Canadians who, you know, grew up with, you know, still to this day, we had a conversation about emotional hedging in this gold medal match if we do get Canada and USA. And right now, DK has Canada minus 125. USA still has to win, obviously, to get there. Do you think I was accurate with my assessment there, where this is the one time where people are not going to emotionally hedge because they're like, oh my God, I'm going to double down. I'm not going to bet my money on the USA if I'm Canadian. I want to bet on my country.
Well, I mean, I think, for sure, I would agree. And I think the other problem is like, you know, look, I got Canada plus 110. So there's really no hedging that I can do that's going to be, you know, of any value. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the bigger problem. You know, if you got Canada, you know, maybe at a better, you know, at big plus money, which was never happening, maybe, but I don't think there's really an opportunity to hedge. And look, guys, I will tell you, like, I don't get too emotionally involved when it comes to sports these days. I mean, even a guy like, look, I was a huge Blue Jay fan. It sucked for me to see them lose to the Dodgers, but it didn't bother me. I mean, I needed a barf bag watching these Canada games next to my table. I mean, it's been gut wrenching for me.
I bet. So, okay, if you didn't have Canada plus 110 to win the whole thing in pocket, how would you approach it? What would your advice be to the audience right now for looking at Canada minus 125 in the gold medal game?
Go with your heart. I mean, it's really a coin flip. Like, I don't think that there's a decided advantage whatsoever. So it's really, who do you want to root for? It's just not a big enough price for me to say, you know, take the U.S. at plus money, let's say.
What are you hearing on Crosby?
Well, John Cooper said after the game today, he's closer today to playing on Sunday than he was to playing today. So they'll have, you know, he's got a couple of extra days to get ready. I mean, look, if the guy can go, he can go. They were trying to find a brace for him that maybe could have helped him today. That wasn't possible. So look, he's got the advantage of rest. So we'll see. I mean, and even if he does play, like how effective will he be is the other thing. But, definitely an emotional boost for Canada if he's able to play.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
We appreciate the time during the game, JD.
All right. Thank you guys. Enjoy. Take care.
Yep, there you go. Jonathan Davis on the Progressive Guest Line. And right now, USA on a power play. Boy, they had how many opportunities there? And it's down to about a minute 10 to go in the power play here.
Midway through the game.
Yep.
4.5 over minus 190.
Boy, just as he was on live, it felt to me from my angle that I have right now that they were peppering the net and they couldn't get one past the goalie there for Slovakia.
Listen, that Stanley Cup was a long time ago.
For Bennington?
If someone's going to give up a softie Sunday, I think it's going to be Bennington.
You know, I've heard the same exact narrative from everybody on Bennington that he just said, you can trust a guy in big games like this.
See what Linda Cohen says.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
But you have to go back. Well, the thing about Hellebuck is he's money at home, but he can't win a road game.
That's right.
But then again, also how are they playing in front of you, too?
Hello, St. Louis series last year.
Yeah.
What did we learn from day one of tanking in the NBA post-All-Star break? We'll run it down for you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back to the box we go for Team USA. Midway through the second period. Again, they're up 2-0 over Slovakia. And, did they take the... They eliminated the power play?
Oh, they were reviewing a goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I thought
it was
they
off the skate.
Okay, gotcha.
No
I thought
goal.
They were sending them to the box. Yeah. Okay. They've outshot Slovakia 21-10 so far, about 8:25 to play in the second period. 2-0 is a score. They're laying 3.5 goals right now at DraftKings. Total is 4.5 now. 4.5, juice at about minus 150 to the over. So, hold on.
Here comes a goal.
There's a goal by USA.
Yep. Let's see how far behind we are.
Plenty of time.
I think it's going to be about a minute. Are we
behind
here?
Are we really that far behind? Holy
it said 3-0 30 seconds ago.
And here it comes. It's got to be on the way here now. I mean, imagine if it goes another minute. Yeah. We're like, hold on.
Oh, man.
This delay's 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
Is this is that Hughes, by the way? JD called that? Yeah. Got to check that, because did he not just point that out?
I don't know who scored.
Like, there's one on the way? Jack Hughes with the
goal. All right.
Well, that was good. There you go. Jonathan Davis comes on last segment. Watch out for Jack Hughes. And he scores the U.S.'s third goal of the game. All right. Now they're a 4.5 goal favorite. And the total goes back up to 5.5 now in the game. Paulie, I was going to come on the air today and say the Cade Cunningham MVP steam is going to pick up. He's going to have a lot of traction, right? Here's a great tweet from Stats. In NBA history, no player has finished a season with 25-plus points, 5-plus rebounds, 9-plus assists on a team that has a winning percentage of 750-plus, which he played. He's doing that right now with the Pistons. And then, as you pointed out earlier today, hey, take a peek at the latest straw poll from Tim Bontemps at ESPN. One first-place vote for him?
Well, he moved up, but, you know, what a performance with the timing of the Bontemps poll. And then he goes out for almost a 40-point triple-double with injuries, and they hammer the Knicks again. Brian Mahoney, friend of the show, who covers the NBA for the Associated Press, Knicks better end up with the 2 or the 3 seed.
Oh, another goal, by the way.
Which won't be easy. Yep, 4-0. Okay. End up the 4, and it's hard to make a case this isn't second-rounded out the way the Pistons manhandled them this season. So they're going to get the 1 seed, it appears. If they get the 1 seed or the best record in the league, he's got a strong case here. Now, SGA has missed 7 games, but the big move at DraftKings, K down to 5-1, SGA down to -150. But then Bontemps said he thinks if someone's going to catch SGA, he thinks it's going to be Wemby. That also ties into, will the Spurs catch the Thunder? And maybe do they get the 1 seed? He compared it to the year Embiid won. Embiid had an early injury and then came back and took the award from Joker. So, but there's certainly the steam is warranted here. And the fact that, number one, what's the record going to be? And then how many games do you miss when it's all said and done?
Now, I know Matt Moore, who's been on this show and other shows on the network a lot going back, very good on the NBA. He actually was saying, what if the games played is like 78 for Cade and 65 for the other guys? Like that won't factor. And if they run away with the 1 seed in the East and maybe have the best record overall, he was trying to make the case like maybe that should actually factor in a little bit, like 13 more games. That's a pretty big chunk of the season to have over the guys that might be ahead of him there with the betting odds. The best number still on Cade after last night that I saw was 7-1 at FanDuel, and the Knicks have a major Pistons problem.
Yep.
Detroit beat them by 15, 38, and 31 points in order this year. 84 points overall in 3 games, 28 points per game. And how about this? On the season, Detroit is now 7-0 straight up and ATS as a road dog. Road dog. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Overall on the year, 10-1 straight up as a dog this year. Are we giving this team enough credit yet for how good they've been? And by the way, that was no Duren and no Stewart last night.
Oh yeah, Duren's missed the 3 games, and they've taken them apart. So also the success they have at the Garden. It goes back to what they did last year in the playoffs, too. So you probably answer is no, that we're not giving them enough respect. And you see that in the marketplace, that Cleveland's favored to win the East in some spots, especially after what they did last night. So excellent job by Cade, and big move. You know, we talked about this with Pizzeria Bets when a listener had that, too. But they're sitting there, if you got 100-1, 200-1, whatever it is, he's down to 5 now.
Yeah.
And he's got some serious juice, and it's hard to see them. Now, I think they get the 1 seed, and then who knows if they have the best record in the league when it's all said and done.
So based on the straw poll, though, I think it was, what, 78 people out of 100 gave SGA the first-place vote?
He's got a comfortable lead, yeah.
He does. That almost makes me want to bet him at -130. If they, even when he comes back, doesn't miss more time after that, and they do hang on and get the 1 seed overall in the West. -130, that's the cheapest number you can get on him in months, I think.
Well, can we agree that Luka's out?
Luka's out.
They can't, even though he's putting up great numbers, it's just how many losses are they going to have?
Yeah, he can't win.
You can't compare that, the Lakers' record, to what San Antonio's going to do, Detroit and OKC, what the record's going to be.
Yeah.
So even if he averages 36-9-9, it's going to come back to the record.
I don't think Joker is worth a bet at the current number, again, because he can only miss, what, 1 more game? He was in second, by the way. He had, I think, 20 first-place votes in that poll behind SGA.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would say if there's a bet to be made, it'd be on Wembanyama, that he could track him down.
What's the number that you saw on him?
25-1.
Okay.
I mean, they're right there behind OKC. They've owned him this year head-to-head. And if he just comes in and plays at that level and puts up ridiculous numbers and stays healthy, I would agree with Bontemps that he's the one guy that can track him down.
So there is a scenario then. I mean, I guess this is the question. Let's assume for 1 minute that Wemby plays the number of games that you have to, like the number of allotted games that you have to hit to be qualified or eligible, I should say, for an award, then if he's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year, if that's the case, like he's going to get it over Chet.
Yeah.
He'll win that. And then if they actually track down SGA, he's going to be the MVP as well. He'll win both. Like that has happened in the NBA. I want to say probably quite a few times in the past. I think Giannis did it last time he won the MVP. I can double check that, but.
Okay. Now, what are your observations about what we watched last night in Sacramento?
Well,
DeRozan didn't get a lot of minutes. They had a nice 10-point lead at the end of the first quarter, and then that was it.
Yeah.
As they have now lost 15 in a row, and they got destroyed at home against Orlando.
So I had one bet on the show for yesterday's action. It was a player prop on Neat Clifford, over points, rebounds, and assists. Never came close. Didn't shoot the ball last night all of a sudden. And they started him off the bench, by the way. He came in off the bench. And I felt awful about that bet last night. I thought about it going to bed. I thought about it when I woke up today. I'm like, how dumb is that? He cleared that number five straight games, but it's like I'm sitting here looking at every game yesterday, and I settle on the guy on the Kings. That you can't trust them at all. The guy had 31 shots in his last two games. He comes out yesterday, doesn't even shoot the basketball at all. Is no hustle plays, no rebounds, no assists to show for it. And tracking that game with a 10-point lead at the end of the first quarter, they scored four baskets in the fourth quarter. They scored 10 points. And that game did not go over as a result. The Kings are worse than what we made it out to be yesterday. And I think that there's a chance here by the end of the year, this team is in the conversation for the worst teams the NBA has ever had. That's where we're at. And look at their schedule coming up.
Yep.
They have no easy games.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, not, I mean, they have a, there's a big stretch
coming
up. There's
an Indiana at home. There's a, yeah, look at March, though. But
okay, I didn't look that far.
Okay,
I looked like next week or whatever.
To your point, though, Sabonis out for the year, LaVine out for the year. You're not playing Westbrook, and you're not playing DeRozan many minutes. So it's the, let's try to get the number one pick, or at least the most losses. And that appears to be a shoe-in right now.
Yeah, they don't have.
What they're putting out there.
They don't have many wins left at all on the entire schedule. And I think they're a serious threat to actually, again, as I said yesterday, beat the all-time Pistons record from 2 years ago for the longest losing streak in an entire season. Also, day one, didn't bet this, but I said I would track it. How would it go when you have a tanking team against a team that was actually, they wanted to play, and like the playoffs are going to be a thing for them? That game qualified last night, as did the Raptors and the Bulls. It was minus 118, so if you bet it, you're up one unit. That's a winner. I'm not going to do it today. I wouldn't even suggest it because the two games that qualify, it's Oklahoma City and the Nets. And if you want to say Dallas is tanking, because there's no Cooper Flagg tonight,
right? Yeah, Marshall has got a score for Dallas.
A two-team money line parlay, when I looked earlier, was minus 475. I'm not even going to, that's it. Doesn't qualify. So it's got to be closer to even money, in my opinion, to actually have fun with it or track it or maybe even get involved with it. So
Well, that's a problem you run into too, like we saw last night with the Cavs game. The Nets, I mean, they got 70 points in the first half, and then they score 2 points in the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter because it's a blowout and no one's playing and the backups can't make a shot.
And
About a 40-point game for a lot of the time.
Yep. I think we can expand on this during win-lose coming up in 5 minutes, by the way. It was all unders last night.
Yeah.
First quarter, first half.
That. Yep.
Only
two first halves went over.
Oh. Yeah, so if you were round-robining that stuff last night, first game out of the break to the under, did quite well on it. The Clippers they play again tonight, so on a back-to-back.
Well, who saw that? Mathurin with 38.
I know, but.
But if he plays well and you get a so-so Garland back, then suddenly they might be. It might be okay.
Yep. Paulie's also going to detail a really horrific beat in the NBA last night next here in Win-Lose.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, end of the second period. Jack Hughes again, 5-0 USA. 6.5 the in-play total, over -160. Larkin, first goal of the game, 35-1. Anytime goal, 5-1. Hawks +4.5 down to pick. They won outright. Clippers 2-1. Huge win at home against Denver. Mathurin has 38. Cal Pauly 6-1 in the get-out game. One at Hawaii, catching a bunch. UT Chattanooga 3-1. Tulane +240 on the money line against North Texas in the over 132 up to 138. Portland State over 139. That's my fault. 139 up to 146 and fell 144. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Now, this is what I'm talking about. House porn. And this one, you know, we showed the loft-type deal yesterday, which not a lot of room to navigate and hang out. This is like, look at this backyard. You got the, in Bali, you got Rock Ride Out. There's your pool. And then you got, like in the middle of the jungle there. Look at that. What do you think?
I'm in.
Yeah, right? Not bad.
I mean, 8 times out of 10, whenever you show this stuff, I'm going to be in. So.
Yeah, right, right. It's like White Lotus. What was the guy's name? Greg, the house that he had?
Oh, yeah, right.
Great actor.
You mean the guy, Uncle Rico?
Uncle Rico.
Yeah, that was Greg. Okay.
That's whatever his name was. I know. Kind of looked like his place that he had. Lose some, the Kings, +11 down to 8. No shot. Franchise record 15-game losing streak. Bulls lose again. 1-10 ATS run. Suns Spurs over, 225 up to 230. No good. Hornets over, 214 up to 219. South Florida Memphis over, 153 up to 163. Also no good. There's a lose some video. You know, the East Coast and a ton of places got buried by snow. Look at this. Oh, we found a car finally. Look at this. As they come in. Now look at how they had to tunnel in and tunnel out to find us. This is an all-timer. Wait. Wait till we go all the way back. Look what they had to go through and how much snow they got, probably in New York, to find the thing. It's an avalanche outside their apartment complex. Look at that. How you had to tunnel in to get to it. How they got in to the vehicle and they're pretending to drive. And good luck getting that thing out. You know, you can watch the Stanford Steve Van Pelt podcast where Steve goes off about, why won't they plow me out? I'm stuck here. What's going on? We're out of range with the snowplow, but imagine how long. Look at it. Put it in perspective with the car next to it.
Of all the snow videos that have ever gone viral, have you ever seen this before?
That's an all-timer. No, I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah.
How much snow did they get? 14 feet?
That thing's buried. Absolutely. Bad for the books. Rockets 2.5 up to 4.5. 1-4. And a bad beat. Here's what Mitch was talking about. Clippers, Nuggets under 226. 58 third quarter points. 74 fourth quarter points combined to put it over.
That was trending 211.5, 212.5 during that fourth quarter. And it flies over the original game total. That's a rough one.
Yeah. College Hoops Grind is where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not beating billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Been with Follow the Money since day one. And have been at it. Long Jeff and the crew do a great job since 2011. Free reports, alerts, logs, transparent results, advanced AI, trusted sources. They highlight the sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books, own the boards this college basketball season. Visit SharpPlays.com. So per your numbers, last night, first game back, first half, first quarter numbers, 15-3 to the under.
Yep, and we have, by my count, 3 games tonight featuring teams playing their first game back from the break. Both teams are playing their first game back from the break. It would be Utah, Memphis. That number keeps coming down on the total. And by the way, it's baked in because the first quarter total is 57.5 or 58.5. The game total is like 237.5. You have Dallas at Minnesota. That first quarter is 61.5. And then you have Milwaukee at New Orleans, first quarter 57.5. If you would like to play that angle tonight, only
over money in that Dallas game, even though no flag. And it's like, I mean, other than Marshall, who's going to score for Dallas?
Yeah,
this is incredible. I mean, look what Utah's doing tonight. George out, Markkanen a flu, Well, we know Jackson's out with the surgery. I mean, it's like goodbye-bye George's chances for any type of award.
Oh, that sucks.
That's the other one. I know.
By the way, that's another thing, too, is that with all of this BS load management, I thought Jonathan Von Tobel was making a great case for him. He was, in fact, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was. And you had NBA media people making the case, I think with a vote, by the way, saying it's quite clear who the most improved player is, and it's George in Utah. And then they're just going to shut him down for the rest of the year? Like, I don't, was it really a significant injury? But so kiss that goodbye. NBA awards have always been tricky, fickle to bet on anyway. But this year is, you know, another wrinkle into it just because of things like that. But the only first half that went over last night, no, check that, first quarter that went over was Boston and Golden State. That was the only first half, a first quarter. Two first halves went over. That game and also the Magic and the Kings first half at 116.5. But tonight, if you wanted to do a three-team round robin on the same thing, based on first game back for those teams playing in the same game, again, but I'm looking at, look at this now. The Jazz Grizzlies first quarter total, again, is 57.5 or 58.5. The Bucks Pelicans first quarter number is the same thing. Full game, Jazz Memphis, 237.5. Bucks Pelicans, 223.5. So a game total is 14 points higher, but the first quarter total is exactly the same. It is cooked in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Big time, based on, I think, some of the results from last night.
Well, you mentioned what happened also, too, the spot here for the Clippers. The huge win at home against Denver. Tough on a back-to-back, and now the Lakers are healthy, and you're going to get a ready-to-go Luka and Reeves in this one as they continue to shoot up in this one. But the Clippers, this is intriguing, right? And I hope you jumped on that 41.5 adjusted wins. I mean, you're not going to get 38 out of Mathurin on a regular basis, but what if you get a good Mathurin with a, you know, okay, my toes are okay, Garland. Something with the way Kawhi's playing. Maybe not going to miss Harden that much.
Now, how fast will the power rating go up? Again, tonight's a back-to-back. I'm not going to qualify for tonight. Imagine they win this game in a back-to-back and they might sit some guys. But what does the Clippers' power rating look like beyond this weekend? Based on what we said yesterday, we thought the narrative was way too strong compared to the betting market, or vice versa, I guess, where people just thought they were punting on the season and they're catching five last night against Denver, won the game outright with the way Kawhi's playing. I think Bucks are going to have to quickly adjust to this team and what they're going to, what they could look like here moving forward. And now this number here has come down a little bit because the Lakers got ballooned up to at least eight today. It's a couple bucks.
Yep.
Now here at Circa, they're back down to seven. But with a, Kawhi is still, when healthy, one of the best players in the entire world. I did play one game earlier today under the total, and it was Pacers and Wizards. I played that under 230. So it looks like that's down to like 228.5, 229 at some books. They played last night. What was the final score? 114-105. And that closed 233. So this, I think, qualifies as what we talked about yesterterday with one of our guests, Mackenzie Rivers. When you have two bad teams playing each other, and they qualify here, two tanking teams with their winning percentages in the tank over the last, I think it was 3 to 5 years, that has trended very well to the under. We saw it last night in that game. I bet on it again tonight. Hopefully it's going to be a winner, but also the Heat-Hawks game is 244.5.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Hero says he's going. Powell says he's going. That's a monster total.
Yeah.
Let me give you a couple here. Number one, Marshall over points. Again, Dallas sitting everybody. Marshall's got to eat. Someone's got to score, as you always talk about. Zach Cohen had a good write-up today, VSiN.com. He's on Porter Jr. over assists for the Bucks. And if you go to every day, you should go. You got to go to the website and check out the NBA prop analyzer. He's on an 18-8 overrun with his assists. And also the Milwaukee angle, Cam Thomas, 8-0 underrun with the rebounds. All that guy wants to do is chuck.
Oh, very good.
So he's on an 8-0 run as well. So you can look at those props and look at the prop analyzer in a couple plays just in that Milwaukee game.
I'm quickly putting together a three-team parlay to see what it would pay on that Jazz, Memphis, Mavs, T-Wolves, and Bucks Pelicans first quarter under. Looks like around almost plus 660. You could probably find about 7-1. And then if you wanted to get involved with like doing a round robin of twos and threes.
Makes sense. We talked about it briefly yesterday. Yeah. This time off, you know, we're going to run into the same thing with the NHL.
A No doubt.
Talking about that time off, a guy's going to come out slow, rusty, and that was incredible last night.
Yep. Up next, we're going to discuss some potential landing spots and trades for Raiders defensive end Max Crosby with odds. I wonder if the Raiders would actually consider some of these offers. We'll tell you what they are coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.